And from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Native communities in Alaska and around the country responded to a graphic in CNN's Tuesday election coverage, labeling voters that don't identify as white, black, Latino, or Asian as, quote, something else. That gaffe led to the hashtag something else trending on Native social media, calling out the cable news network for its ignorance. KTOO's Pablo Pena reports that while many Native voices made light of the situation with comedic memes and tweets, others said they were frustrated with the continued Native erasure.
Barbara Watha Gidock Blake was checking her social media feed early Thursday morning when she noticed posts referencing CNN's use of, quote, something else to describe voters who aren't white, black, Asian, or Latino.
It was rough to see our population invisibilized, and it seemed to perpetuate the erasure of Indigenous people as we stand today in this great land.
Blake, who is Haida Klinkit and Atna, is the director of the Alaska Native Policy Center with the First Alaskans Institute. She says given that Alaska Natives are 20% of the state's population and Native voters have made an impact nationally, it's time for the Native vote to be recognized.
Our voter contribution, oftentimes the swing vote in many states, needs to be acknowledged. It needs to be uplifted and recognized in a manner that upholds the 10,000 years of existence that our people have held on these lands.
Hune Lance Twitchell is a professor of Alaska Native Language Arts and Sciences at the University of Alaska Southeast. He's also Tlingit, Haida, and Yupik.
The way it contributes to erasure is then we don't get to be part of the graphic. We don't get to be part of the analysis as far as Indigenous peoples, and we should be.
But Twitchell says the memes created with hashtag something else did make a difference. His team has also translated the phrase in Tlingit.
The humor is really fun because I think Indigenous peoples are really good at taking something and to make it into something funny. But then to see once you run it through our language, how it becomes a statement of inclusivity and importance.
Lindsay Crable Burton was monitoring election coverage when she noticed a screenshot of the graphic on her feed.
We're still seeing folks refer to voters who don't neatly fall into one of four categories as something else. It's one thing to be referred to as other, which is still problematic in and of itself, but to see that label, it was a slap in the face, frankly.
Crable Burton is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation and the vice president of the Native American Journalists Association. The organization put out a statement saying the cable news network's graphic is a clear example of Native erasure.
We did receive an email, but it did not include an apology.
As of Friday, CNN apologized for the graphic, according to the LA Times. In Juneau, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña.
Alaska's only Native reservation was on lockdown Friday. That's after officials with Metlakatla Indian Community announced the Southeast Alaska Village's first cases of COVID-19. KRBD's Eric Stone has more.
Metlakatla avoided the coronavirus for nearly 8 months, but that streak ended Thursday when an unnamed resident tested positive. Officials there say the person was immediately isolated. The source of the infection is under investigation. A 72-hour lockdown took effect Friday, November 6th. Judith Eaton is Metlakatla Indian Community's secretary.
The general public must quarantine at home until the contact tracing procedures are completed.
Testing revealed a second case in Metlakatla Friday afternoon. Metlakatla's tribal government has had strict protocols in place that required travelers from high-risk areas to quarantine for 2 weeks. That's since been expanded to ban all but essential travel to and from Annette Island, and even those deemed essential are asked to quarantine for 5 days. Classes at Metlakatla schools were canceled Friday, and several businesses announced they would close, but Metlakatla's primary grocery store remains open. Face masks and 6-foot distancing are now mandatory in public settings throughout the Annette Islands Reserve. Eaton asks residents to abide by a few simple steps.
Wear your mask. Wash your hands, be safe, be aware.
Ketchikan is seeing its highest case numbers since the pandemic began. It shares a ferry link with Metlakatla that runs 5 days a week. Lockdown restrictions are projected to end as early as Monday, November 9th. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
Juneau will have its own machine to process COVID-19 tests starting next month. That should lead to faster turnaround time for results. The Juneau Assembly approved $700,000 in CARES Act money for testing equipment back in June. But the machines were in high demand all over the world, and the city expected to have to wait until 2021. Emergency Operations Center Planning Chief Robert Barr says that Juneau's order will arrive in December instead of January.
Ideally, we will have the staff and supplies in order to process all of our tests that occur in Juneau on the system.
Barr says the city is getting a Roche 6800 testing machine. It will be able to process nearly 400 tests every 8 hours. That means people should receive same or next day results. Juneau performs about 150 to 200 tests a day right now, but each test kit has to be flown to a lab for processing. Turnaround time for results from the airport testing site improved recently when the city started sending tests to a private lab in California instead of the state lab in Fairbanks. But most results will still take 2 to 3 days.
A test is a point in time, right? So the sooner, the closer to that point in time that you can tell someone that they tested negative or they tested positive, the higher value that test has.
Right now, Bartlett Regional Hospital has rapid tests available for some people. Barr says they're building a space at Bartlett for the new machine. The hospital is also hiring the staff to run it.
There may at first be some supply constraints. It kind of depends on the worldwide demand on the testing supplies. But we would hope to transition all of it over. The most important tests that we would do early on this machine would be tests for people who are experiencing symptoms.
The machine coming to Juneau is a polymerase chain reaction test, also known as PCR. It takes about 4 hours to process a sample. Barr says that's the same type of equipment used at both the state and California labs. And local governments across the country are working to spend the last of their federal CARES Act money ahead of an end-of-year deadline. The Juneau Assembly has three more programs teed up to pump the last $5 million or so of its share of the relief money into the economy. KTOO's Jeremy Shea reports there isn't enough money left to fund all of them, so there will be some competition.
Adults who live in Juneau earn less than $58,900 a year and have been financially hurt by the pandemic may be eligible for $1,000 to $2,000 in direct payments under a proposal by Juneau Assembly member Alicia Hughes-Scandies.
I think of this just as sort of we've been targeting different things at the business community, but I don't feel like we've done a ton up to this point looking at worker relief. So this seemed like the best way to do that.
Hughes-Scandies says she got the idea from Skagway's direct payment program. She hopes to set aside $2 million of the city's CARES Act money for it. Assemblymember Greg Smith wants to put $1 million more into housing and utility assistance. Hundreds of people applied for that program in the first few days.
Obviously, this has been a big strain on everyone. You know, a goal of mine is definitely to get it into hands of families, especially those with lower income, just because the data shows that they are the ones that have suffered most financially.
The program, which Catholic Community Service is taking applications for, is for households financially impacted by the pandemic that earn less than $94,200 a year. They can get up to $2,000 in rent, mortgage, and utility relief. Mayor Beth Weldon is proposing $2.3 million for an extreme hardship business grant program.
The reason that we're looking at the extreme hardship is because these are the businesses that when we were encouraged to hunker down or mandated to close or severely limit operations. So any of those businesses, basically for something that they didn't have any control of and they were harmed, that's what we're looking for.
As far as the three proposals competing for the same pool of money, Weldon said she personally prefers the existing housing and utility grants over the direct assistance.
Those are very similar, so I would imagine those figures might be a little adjusted if we choose to go that route.
Smith said it's a discussion for the Assembly's next Finance Committee meeting.
I think the goals are all the same. I think we're going to hash out on Tuesday where we want the remaining money to go.
If the direct payments and business grant proposals advance, they're headed for a public hearing and final vote by the full Assembly on November 23rd. Smith's ordinance for extra housing assistance has not been formally introduced yet. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.
And just a quick disclosure that Jeremy has applied for the Housing and Utility Assistance Grant.